This is the Friday Show on KLCC. I'm Rachel McDonald. Today we're joined by our usual guest, Lane County Chief Medical Officer Dr. Patrick Ludke. We also have Dr. Leslie Lev here. She's the alumni faculty professor in the College of Education and Associate Director of Prevention Science Institute at the University of Oregon. And Dr. Jorge Ramirez-Garcia is here as well. He's a research scientist with Oregon Research Institute and with Greater Oregon Behavioral Health. He's a member of the Health Equity Committee of the Oregon Health Authority. Leslie and Jorge and Dr. Ludke, welcome to the Friday Show.
Glad to be here.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Rachel.
So Leslie and Jorge are part of a federally grant-funded project called RADxUP. Now, Leslie, why don't you explain this project to us?
Oh, thank you. I'd be happy to. It's RADxUP is probably not a common household term, so let me just start by telling you a little bit about what it is. It stands for Rapid Acceleration of Diagnostics for Underserved Populations. So we'll call it RADx here because that's shorter. But in brief, it's a national initiative within the National Institutes of Health that is aiming to ensure that all Americans have access to COVID-19 testing. But it has a specific focus on communities that are most affected by the pandemic. And the National Institutes of Health provided about $30 million in funding to support about 70 projects that engage communities across the United States to really better understand and alleviate some of the barriers to COVID-19 testing across the U.S. And, you know, our team saw this announcement come out last summer, and it was really sort of the perfect combination of timing and events, because at the University of Oregon, we had just established a laboratory that could process COVID-19 tests in a way that was compliant and adherent to the FDA guidelines. And we're starting to do some of that testing with our student and community populations. And so, you know, between our expertise in genomics and having a COVID lab that could process tests, as well as the combination of our expertise working with communities and underserved populations and serving the underserved populations such as the Latino community, it just felt like we needed to apply for this. It was our community really would benefit from additional testing. So we were fortunate to apply, myself in combination with Bill Cresco, who's in the Department of Biology at University of Oregon, and Dave DeGarmo, who's an expert in some of the design and research intervention analyses, and Jorge, who you'll hear from momentarily, as well. So together our team applied. We were successful and learned this fall that we were able to proceed with this project, which is really to offer free COVID-19 testing to communities in Oregon that are more densely populated with individuals who identify as Latinx and who might not otherwise have easy access to free testing.
Mm-hmm. And why is it important to be reaching out to these Latino communities? And Jorge, could you take this question?
Sure. Thanks for having us again. We have a disproportionate share, Latinx and additional ethnic minorities, in terms of burden and mortality for COVID-19. Recently, the director of the National Institute of Minority Health and Health Disparities reminded us that together, Black African American, Latinx, Native American populations make up only one third of the national U.S. population, but we account for one half of the cases, one half of the deaths. So another important example that we can bring here is the decrease in the lifespan. So the pandemic and its 500 million plus lives that it has taken have really, you know, lower our life expectancy in the U.S. And it's roughly by 1 year, the life expectancy. Now, when we look at Latinx and Black African American communities, our life expectancy has dropped to nearly 3 years, not one, but 3 years. We have just lost more people in our younger ages. So the importance of this project is to develop a robust mitigation response at the national level and to pay close attention to communities that have been disproportionately affected.
And Dr. Ludke, how is Lane County Public Health partnering with this project?
Well, originally, because of some structural limitations with the availability of physicians at the university, they needed an outside doc because when they hire on their physicians, as I understand it, for the Student Health Center, et cetera, they're limited to a certain jurisdiction. They can't just go out into Western Lane County, Eastern Lane County. So they needed a medical director. I was happy to serve in that role. And then also there's just a combination, really, of goals that we were aligned. And very clearly, we in public health have for quite some time been looking at populations that either are structurally pushed out, pushed away from healthcare, or it's just made really difficult for them to access healthcare. And we need to reach them all the time, but especially during a pandemic, for testing purposes and for vaccination purposes. So it was a really fortunate alignment, and we in public health were so happy that they were successful in getting the grant. These things are competitive. You never know. You have to write up a really good application, and then, of course, you get questions and you have to justify. And they did all that in a wonderful way, and they were funded, which is just a great thing for our county.
And so, Leslie, can you describe the methods of the project and what this looks like?
Yeah, sure. And, you know, just to echo Pat and what Dr. Ludke just said, is, you know, this partnership is this grant. This project is truly a could not happen without our partners at Lane County and actually eight other counties. So we're doing the work across nine counties. So in addition to Lane, we're in Lincoln, Douglas, Marion, Jefferson, Umatilla, Morrow, and Jackson and Josephine. And and through those counties and with we've worked with local community-based organizations as well as Vive Northwest to help deliver outreach to make communities aware of the free testing. So I'll tell you a little bit about the outreach and how you hear about the testing and then sort of what it looks like on site if you're at a testing event. But through the local community-based organizations and Vive Northwest, they will do kind of individual outreach, some advertising on Mexican radio stations, and getting the word out essentially to those local communities, because every county is different, and it's essential that you have partners in each of the counties that know the population and know how to do the outreach. So through those, you know, kind of social media, Spanish radio, individual contacts, folks hear about it, and we also have a website that folks can go to sign up. And then you can either pre-register online, or you can just walk up to event, and we hold them at a regular basis every 2 weeks, same location, same time across these nine counties in 36 different locations. So anyone age 3 or older can sign up in advance or just walk up and get tested at one of our events. I could tell you a little bit about what it looks like when you're at an event.
Uh-huh.
If that's okay.
Yeah, that'd be great.
All right. So the team that are there, the research team, are all bilingual, bicultural, and so folks can either walk up or drive up in your car. There is the usual kind of paperwork in Spanish or English, and at some of our sites we also have MOM. And then the sample that we use is a self-collected shallow nasal, so it's not the deep nasal that sometimes is called the brain tickler, but the shallow one that you can do yourself. And then that gets sent over to the lab, and you hear within, you know, usually two to three, but sometimes as many as 4 days after you do the test, depending on if it's a weekend or not. And then at some of our sites, what we have are health promotores. So folks from the local community-based organizations are on site and delivering health information, health promotion information on site, sort of personalized information about how to stay healthy and the benefits of testing and vaccination. And to evaluate that, because this, you know, it is a research grant, anybody who comes to a testing event who's age 18 or over is also invited to do a survey, you know, either on your phone or on paper. Takes about 20 to 30 minutes, and they receive a $15 gift card for that. But that data the people can provide on their surveys will enable us to really see, do these methods of outreach that we're trying, do these on-site health promotoras, do they work? Have we been successful in increasing access for these communities to the COVID testing?
And our participants, how are they responding to this? Jorge, maybe you can take this sort of what has been the response in the community?
Well, when we have this culturally responsive methods, really in summary, what Leslie described is that you have a local response. Communities work with a team. The testing sites are at community-friendly events. There are staff, like Leslie mentioned, bicultural, bilingual. People, the outreach materials are linguistically responsive in terms of being available in English and Spanish, and also in some Central and Latin American native languages, such as MOM, as Leslie mentioned. You're just going to increase really highly the chances of having people come in. And it varies by site, of course. Not every single site is the same. The partnerships work very well when we put all those resources together. And sometimes things are not as aligned from one side to the other. But that is the only way that we can really increase the number of testing, by doing all these things in combination. The promotores de salud, the community health workers, it's also a very vital aspect of this project because they provide very useful information that is much, much needed. There is a lot of misinformation and, competing misinformation. So the project has done a fantastic job of including this aspect of psychoeducation, health literacy improving aspect.
And Dr. Ludke, early in the pandemic, testing for COVID-19 was very limited and scarce, and it's much easier now to access a test for most people. But what is the value of testing now, and when should people be getting tested?
Gosh, I think that's a good question. I think people look outside, especially today, and they see blue skies, and they feel the warmth of the sun, and they wish the pandemic is over, and maybe they even think it's over. But, of course, that's not the case. So we have had marked decreases in cases over the last few weeks. But in the last couple of days, we were back up to 29 new cases 2 days ago and 34 new cases today. The disease is still out there, and we still need to find it, and we need to prevent that one case from turning into 6 or 8 or 10 or 20 in a big outbreak. And the way that you do that is you find people and test them. And those are two pieces of the puzzle, right? You got to find them first, and you got to test them. Some people are easy to find. Some people have resources, or they can navigate the really Byzantine healthcare community that we have in this country and find a way to get tested. And other people, we have to find them. So this is one of those really important opportunities for us to go out and find people and get them tested and prevent outbreaks and prevent the extension of this pandemic that we're all wishing is long since over.
And should more people be getting tested more often?
Well, certainly anybody who has symptoms that are compatible with COVID, they have a fever, they have a cough, they have shortness of breath, absolutely they should be tested. Given the amount of COVID that's still out there, it probably is COVID. In other seasons, it probably would have been most likely to have been influenza, but we have very little flu this year. It's been replaced by COVID. So if you're symptomatic with symptoms that are compatible with COVID, don't just slough it off and just sit at home and say, I might beat it. And especially if you're high risk, even if you're vaccinated, the vaccines are not perfect. They're darn good, but they're not perfect. Please do get tested.
And Jorge, what do you hope this research will do to help improve health equity in Latinx and other minority communities?
Well, the intent, again, is to examine how these set of responses really make an impact. Science is rigorous, but it is tedious, and we need to be really informed and really armed so that we have policymakers have the best available evidence and be able to say, you know, we need a comprehensive, locally, community, culturally, linguistically informed and responsive way to be able to have the mitigation responses, including testing and everything else, be accessible to all segments of society. And this is why we need to stop a project to be able to provide that evidence and not just say it. That's what we're achieving. That's what we're working forward towards.
And Leslie, did you want to weigh in on that in terms of just how this project might help improving in terms of equity?
Yeah, and Jorge, you said that very eloquently, so I have little to add, but I would also say where the testing events, you don't have to be symptomatic to come to the testing events, anybody over age 3, and you also don't have to identify yourself as Latino, Latina. So we're really there to serve anybody who doesn't have access to easy, free testing, because our goal overall is, you know, to have more testing sites out there that are free, that are accessible to communities or individuals who might not feel comfortable going to a medical provider or may not have a doctor. So I think through those efforts across the state in the 9 counties, we're really hoping to make an impact on reducing the health disparities.
You're listening to The Friday Show on KLCC. I'm Rachel McDonald. We're with Lane County Public Health's Dr. Patrick Ludke and Dr. Jorge Ramirez-Garcia with Oregon Research Institute and Greater Oregon Behavioral Health, and Dr. Leslie Lev with the University of Oregon. We now go to some listener questions. We have several to do with vaccines, so we'll just jump in here.
My name is Susan. I live in Eugene. I've been vaccinated, but I'm calling regarding a friend who is in her mid-80s, has been diagnosed with congestive heart failure. She'd like to get vaccinated. Is it safe for her to do so? And where could she get the Johnson & Johnson shot, which would be less stressful to her to just have one shot?
I am happy to start with that, Rachel, if
Great.
That's all right.
Please do.
Yes, so she's in her mid-80s, mm-hmm. as I understand it, and she is clearly a priority group that we really want to get vaccinated, so I'm glad that she's interested in it. And it's really a good time now because as more vaccine has come into the pipeline, it's easier than ever to go on our website. Hopefully they have access to our website. And they can now choose a site and a time on their own. We had this old sign-up system when we had much less vaccine and many more priority groups, but it's much easier beginning this week. So if they don't have access to our website, they can't go on Lane County Public Health's website, just call our 1380 number, and we can help walk you through it. And that's 541-682-1380. And regarding the Johnson & Johnson part, you know, we're not getting any Johnson & Johnson this week into Lane County. And we understand we probably are not getting any next week either. But the week after that, we're supposed to get some. So it's sort of on a whim issue. We don't drive that. We get what gets sent to us from the federal government through federal contracts. And as soon as we get that, that will be available on our website, and you can sign up for that. So again, a new system that allows you to – it really cuts out two steps, and it's easier now that we have more vaccine. And I am so thankful that she is willing to get vaccinated and get protected.
Here's another question. This is from Kathleen. She sent it via email. She says, my 30-year-old daughter has been fully vaccinated because she works with children. After vaccination, could she still test positive for COVID-19? And does she still need to be tested for any reason at all, maybe if she's sick?
Well, she could indeed get positive tests for it. So one of the caveats about these vaccines, all the vaccines on the market so far, they produce immunity to the spike protein, that protein that forms sort of the corona, the halo, the crown around the virus that you see, how it gets its name, coronavirus. Many of the tests for the antibody tests for this virus actually test for the spike protein. So it's possible that you could get a false positive test. Keep that in mind. If you do go in and get tested, tell your doctor that you've been prior vaccinated, and he or she will make sure that the appropriate test is done. They probably will not be doing an antibody test. I hope they do some kind of molecular test. That's what most are doing, but keep that in mind. So long story short, yes, you could get a positive test, you could get infected after the vaccine. They're only 90 to 95% effective at preventing COVID disease. They're not 100%. And you could get reinfected and could get a positive test. And if you have symptoms compatible with COVID, gosh, go in and get tested.
But certainly if someone does have that situation happen, the likelihood of serious illness is much less.
Oh, absolutely, yes. I mean, we've only had these vaccines since mid-December, but we already know that people have a marked decreased risk of severe illness, either hospitalization or hospitalization and being on a ventilator and in an ICU. So, yes, if you did get an infection despite being vaccinated, it looks like it's going to be markedly less severe, quite a mild infection.
So in regards to vaccine distribution, Governor Kate Brown, Oregon Governor Kate Brown, just announced an accelerated timeline for groups so that as of April 5th, frontline workers and adults 16 and over with pre-existing conditions can get vaccines. But what are some inequities in terms of access to the vaccines that we're seeing? And maybe, you know, Dr. Ludke, we'd love to hear from you, but if Jorge or Leslie wants to weigh in as well, just in terms of access to vaccines.
Well, I'm happy to start with some of the data that we have. I mean, there are some good pieces of information out there. So, for example, we are at 75% of all of our persons over 65 vaccinated in Lane County. That's amazing. Three quarters of people 65 and older. And as we know with this this virus, the elderly are at higher risk. So that's a great thing. If you look at it by zip code, the lowest zip code is at about 70% for people over age 60 being vaccinated. The highest is 91%. So that's a good thing. We'd like it to be 100%. We probably won't get there, but 75% is good. We also have the Black and African American percentage is 25% right now are fully vaccinated, which is the same as the overall population. All age groups that are eligible, you know, 18 and above for Moderna and Johnson & Johnson and 16 years old and above for the Pfizer vaccine. So it's nice to see that those two are the same. Sometimes you see the Black African Americans at 5% and the rest of the population is 25 or 30%, but they're both equal. But we are not as high in the Asian community. It's around 20%. So we have a little bit of a ways to go there. Hispanic community is only in the 10% range. So we clearly have an opportunity for more vaccination in that area. And I'd be interested to hear from Jorge as well, his thoughts in this space.
Well, we would just go back to start off, the distribution is a pretty complex process, as we know, and that's going to vary by location and regions. We can just go back to the same issues that we discussed in terms of addressing social disadvantages, anything that gets on the way of people reaching those sites and having access to the information, accurate, timely information, the capability to get there. We go back to the same. We need locally driven and community friendly and culturally responsive approaches that involve being able to get the vaccines to the communities.
So transportation, access to often access to computers can be a challenge.
Yeah, there is a host of issues: information, transportation, the digital divide, getting the information in a timely manner. Who is the source of the information? That's what we keep hearing. There is also, you know, an information campaign that I think it's part of the issue in terms of the vaccine so-called hesitancy. That is a variety of issues of information or mistrust or a host of issues that people are working hard to untangle and address as quickly as possible.
And, you know, Rachel, I would add, too, that we are working with a fair number of we call them CBOs, community-based organizations, trying to get the word out as well. So Lane County Public Health works and has had vaccination clinics with Centro Latino, Huerto de la Familia, the Latinx Alliance, a few of the community councils, Whitaker Community Council, that have some race ethnicity subgroups. And that's not enough yet. You know,
okay.
That percentage is not high enough.
Well, we're going to have to wrap it up. Thank you so much. Lane County Public Health's Dr. Patrick Ludke, Dr. Jorge Ramirez-Garcia, And Dr. Leslie Love, thank you so much for joining us for the Friday show here on KLCC. Production help from Jason Brown. I'm Rachel McDonald.